gracious Lord, we thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy upon us, Father, which we do not deserve. We recognize, Father, that every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be the first fruits of his creatures. We thank you, God, for that. Thank you, God, for giving us spiritual life. Thank you, God, for loving us, for being revealing yourself to us, Father. We pray, God, that this morning, Lord, you would illuminate the truth of your word to our understanding, Father, we pray. Amen. Good morning. You may be seated. This morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 1. We're going to take a brief break from our Luke study, or rather Acts study now, as we need to approach the end of Acts, really. And we're going to take a look at Psalm chapter 1. How many of us want to be happy? How many of you would like to be happy people? And I'll raise my hand most enthusiastically. I want to be a happy person. A happy person. Well, I believe, based on the scriptures, that God is concerned also with our happiness. He wants us to be happy also. And in this chapter, we're going to see some keys to Christian happiness. The keys to the happiness of humanity, really. God talks a lot about happiness. Here are a few verses from the Old Testament that speak about happiness. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, God says, "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." And in the 1 Kings, "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom." Job 5, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." Psalm 119, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord." And that word blessed can be translated happy. 119:2, "Happy are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." Happy is the man, speaking of children now in Psalm 127, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Psalm 144, "Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Psalm 146, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Proverbs chapter 3, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Proverbs 8, "Happy is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." Proverbs 14, "He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy upon the poor, happy is he." Chapter 16 of Proverbs, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." Proverbs 28, "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." And Proverbs 29, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." I believe wholeheartedly that the Lord wants us to be happy. That the Lord wants us to be happy, and that He has provided everything that we need for happiness. That He has provided everything we need for our happiness. So let's open our Bibles, if you will, please, to Psalm chapter 1. Let's read through this. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is the man. That word blessed. There's two words in English. There's two words, rather, in the ancient Hebrew, which are translated into English as blessed. And we'll make them easy for you to remember here. The first one is Barak. And it is a blessing like when God pronounces a blessing on someone, or when a person pronounces a blessing on another person. Like when Jacob wanted the blessing of his father Isaac, he stole that blessing. That was a Barak, a pronounced blessing. And then when Jacob was wrestling with God just before he meets with Esau, many years later, he says to the Lord, "I will not let you go until you bless me." That is the word Barak. Until you pronounce a blessing on me. The second word that is translated blessing in English is the word, I've written down here, Esher, Esher. Okay? From that word, the name Asher is derived. Asher. Remember? Asher was one of the sons of Jacob also. So we have two examples in the life of Jacob of these two words of blessing. And the word Asher means happy. It's a congratulatory term. Happy. Enviably happy. A person who is enviably happy, who is in a good circumstance, is the word Asher. And we derive the name Asher from that. So we have Barak. So like the name Barack Obama, That name comes from the Hebrew word for a blessing. Or sounds like it anyway. It's the same spelling. And then Asher, which is definitely directly tied to the name Asher. Because Leah, the wife of Jacob, names the child. And she says, Asher. We're going to call him Asher. And then she makes reference to the fact that she is happy. So, the word translated blessed in this context of Psalm chapter 1 is a share, happy, a person in an enviable circumstance, a person that has all the reason in the world to be supremely happy, is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. We're going to have 2 points here from the first 2 verses. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. So the first point is, in order to be happy, if we want to be happy people, we need to reject ungodly wisdom. Reject ungodly wisdom. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Reject ungodly wisdom. This is exemplified in the life of the grandson of the man who probably wrote this. The man who probably wrote Psalm 1 is probably David. David wrote the vast majority of the Psalms. Now, there's Psalms which are not written by David, and Psalms which are written, and they don't really tell us who wrote them. This is one of them. But presumably, we'll presume that it was written by David. We don't know that. But his grandson was a man named Rehoboam. David was a man who sought the Lord wholeheartedly. He wasn't a perfect man. He was a man who sinned against God, but a man who repented of his sin and sought the Lord. His son's name was Solomon. Solomon for a while sought God, and Solomon was considered the wisest man that ever lived. But in the end of his life, he did some very foolish things and turned his heart away from the Lord his God and sought the gods of his wives, who drew away his heart after their false gods, because he did not apply God's very specific commands for kings in his life. And he gathered many, many wives from many of the nations that surrounded him, directly violating the commands of God. Because of that, he reaped the consequence of a divided heart. And now he turned his heart completely away from the Lord, sought false gods, God confronted him, and instead of repenting, as David his father had done, he continued in his evil way, hardening his heart against the Lord his God. And his son Rehoboam would be definitely no better. 1 Chronicles chapter 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 1. Or I'm sorry, 1 Kings chapter 12. 1 Kings, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 1. Rehoboam went to Shechem, and so Solomon has died. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. And as soon as Rehoboam the son of Nebat heard of it, for he was still in Egypt, for he had fled from King Solomon, then Rehoboam returned from Egypt, and they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke on us, and we will serve you." And he said to them, "Go away for 3 days and then come again to me." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon his father while he was yet alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer this people?" And they said to him, "If you are a servant, if you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good words to them, when you answer them, then you will be a servant to them forever. Now speak good words to them when you answer them. Then they will be your servants forever." But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him. And he took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. And he said to them, "What do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, 'Lighten the yoke that our father put upon us'?" And the young men who had grown up with him said to him, "Thus shall you speak to this people who said to you, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us.' Thus you shall say to them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" Rehoboam received good counsel, didn't he? But he rejected that good counsel. He rejected that good counsel. And really we see that this thing was from the Lord. This was a further consequence of Solomon's turning his heart away from the Lord. God had already told Solomon what was going to take place. God had already prophesied this. And as a matter of fact, if we keep reading here, we'll see that Scripture says very explicitly, the thing was from the Lord. But Rehoboam here refuses to listen to the good counsel. Instead, he chooses to listen to ungodly counsel. Rehoboam, furthermore, really fulfills the prophecy of the Lord that the Lord spoke through Samuel. Samuel was the prophet of the Lord before the kings. He was the last of the judges. And they came to Samuel and said, "Samuel, set up for us a king." And Samuel didn't like that idea very much. And neither did the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, "It's not you they're rejecting. It's me that they're rejecting. But tell them that this is going to be the behavior of their king. He's going to be very hard on them, and he's going to take their sons and make slaves out of them," etc., etc. Saul really fulfilled that. Solomon even more, and now Rehoboam is going to take that to a new level, he says. He aspires to, because of the following the counsel of these wicked young men, he aspires to further the curse of the Lord on this people. He rejects the counsel of the wise and grabs hold of the counsel of the ungodly, and it leads to nothing but more trouble. The kingdom is divided. God gives 10 tribes to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And, of course, we know from the biblical history that it's an absolute disaster. Rehoboam represents receiving the counsel of the ungodly. And what happens when we receive the counsel of the ungodly? There was a divided heart, and there was a divided kingdom. God's people were divided. For many, many years, there was a great struggle in the kingdom between these two countries, Israel and Judah. And there was a departure from serving the Lord. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. The first thing that can make us happy is to reject ungodly counsel, reject ungodly wisdom. The counsel and the wisdom of God are directly and diametrically opposed to the counsel and the wisdom of ungodliness, aren't they? The mind set on the things of the flesh is enmity against God. The mind set on the things of the flesh is enmity against God. So first of all, reject ungodly wisdom. We are happy if we reject ungodly wisdom. Second, verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So the first point is reject worldly wisdom. The second point is love God's wisdom. Love God's wisdom. In his law he meditates day and night. So two operative words here. Delight and meditate. Delight and meditate. And to delight is to have an emotional draw to the intrinsic value of something. To have an emotional draw to the intrinsic. I think we all know really in our hearts what it means to delight in something, don't we? We really know what that means. That it's easy in a materialistic heart. We delight in things, don't we? The materialistic heart is the heart that delights in things. The God-centered heart is the heart that delights in God and in His Word. We are happy if we delight in God and in His Word, aren't we? We will be happy if we delight in God and His Word. In His law, He meditates day and night. And I believe that meditation is just tied tight to that delighting. Delight, meditate, they go right hand in hand. Those things that we are delighting in are the things that we are meditating on. The things that we are delighting in are the things that we are meditating on. We'll naturally meditate on those things that we delight in. What are you in your heart delighting in? What am I in my heart delighting in? What are those things that bring me delight, joy to my heart? To meditate is to ponder. That it means to ponder in such a way that you mumble to yourself. To ponder in such a way that... So when you think of the word meditate, I want you to envision walking through the grocery store mumbling to yourself. Maybe you've seen a guy looking at his list that his wife gave him. It was probably me. My wife gives me lists to walk, and I walk through the grocery store, you know, and in all likelihood, I stand there and mumble to myself, because I'm thinking on that list, thinking about it. Okay, I can't forget this, and I can't forget, and oh yeah, she said this about this particular thing. It's not written down here, but it's there, so I have to be meditating on that list to keep it before my mind so that I will remember what to get, what brand of this particular item to get, because maybe one's on sale, one's not, maybe one will work, and one just, quite frankly, will not work. Mumble, to think on something in such a way that you mumble to yourself. To think on something in such a way that you're thinking on it so much, you're not even thinking about all the people around you that might be thinking, man, this guy is really whacked out. You know, talking to yourself used to be kind of funny looking. Now it just looks like you probably have a Bluetooth deal in your ear and you're talking on the phone. But to be meditating and thinking on something to the degree, to the point that it just comes out of your mouth. This book of the law, God said to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We see the tie between the words coming out of your mouth and the meditation in your heart. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. There's a tie between what we are meditating on and what we are talking to ourselves about, or what we are talking about in general. So, delight in God's law, and that looks like meditating on it, and there's a time restriction here. We have to do it either in the day or in the night. The day or the night. That means all the time. And in his law, he meditates day and night. Oh boy, I am a long ways from having a complete application in this area of completely meditating on the Word of God day and night. That the Word of God would be that which I am thinking about, and that it would be affecting every action of my day, every interaction of my day. Blessed is the man, happy is the man, who delights in the law of the Lord, and in His law meditates day and night. And this is our application for this passage. This is the application verse. The application key for this passage is right here. Verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. This is our application key. And then it goes on to talk about what that life of the blessed and happy man looks like. Beginning with verse 3, we'll read 3 and 4 here. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Now let's stop there. It draws for us a word picture, if you will. A word picture of a tree planted by a river of water. Imagine the trees down by the Gila River. You know, there's no trees anywhere close to the Gila River unless it's right down at the very bottom. There's no trees around there, except right there where the water is. Where the water is, you'll get trees. A tree planted by rivers of water that's receiving what it needs, that's receiving the nourishment that it needs to produce fruit. Okay, so we have a word picture here. One side shows us a fruitful tree. The other side is chaff. How many of you know what chaff is? What chaff is? Chaff, I grew up farming wheat. And chaff is something all wheat farmers know about. Because it gets in your eyes, and it gets in your ears, and it gets in your nose. And it's really nasty stuff. It's the husk and the hull and everything that you don't want to eat that's on that little wheat plant. And just last night, we were out in Buckeye, and we were driving down Southern, and there were some combines there cutting wheat, and there were trucks hauling the wheat out. It's wheat harvest time here. And if you look at the back of the combine, you'll see all this dust and chaff flying out the back of the combine. That's what chaff is. It's all that junk that comes flying out the back of the combine. That combine takes in the whole, about this much of the stalk and the head of wheat, and it just beats it up, separates it out. The wheat goes up in the bin, and the chaff and all that stuff that you don't want to eat comes flying out the back. And that stuff is absolutely worthless. There is no, you can't feed it to cows. They are pigs. They won't, I suppose if you fed a whole bunch of chaff to pigs, they'd eat it. But it'd be hard to gather that much chaff. It's just worthless. It's absolutely worthless. So the Lord draws for us a picture here of a fruitful tree. Think of a beautiful apple tree that's loaded with apples or grapefruits down here. Loaded with grapefruits. A good fruit. Something that is a delight. And then there's chaff. Something that is absolutely worthless. The wind just blows it away, and it doesn't last. It just goes back into the soil, and there's no fruit there. There's no benefit. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. I'm sorry, I should have read verse 4 a minute ago. But are like the chaff that the wind drives away. The Lord refers to the Christian life frequently as a life of fruitfulness. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Jesus Christ said this: I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask me in the ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Romans 6:20-23. The fruitful life is a life lived in slavery to God. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Well, what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Galatians 5 describes some of the fruit of righteousness. For the desire of the flesh, 5:17, the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgy, and things like these. Chaff! I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Philippians 1, Paul prays, in Philippians and Colossians both, Paul prays that the believers in Philippi and Corinth, or in Colossae, will be fruitful, have a fruitful life. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And then in Colossians 1, and so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So the life of abiding in God's Word, meditating on His Word, delighting in the Lord, is a fruitful life, isn't it? Is a fruitful life. And that fruit is clearly defined for us in Scripture, isn't it? The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, of the wicked, will perish. The key word here is the Lord knows. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. God's knowledge and man's knowledge are very, very different things, aren't they? We know a lot that we can't affect. Science is basically us discovering what God has done. God's knowledge is different than that, isn't it? And I don't understand all that goes into God's knowledge. I mean, it's what God's knowledge really, really means. I mean, there's a lot there. There's a lot there that God's Lord knows the way of the earth. All this is happening. This man is blessed, and this man is abiding, and so on and so forth, because the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. The Lord knows the way of the earth. God's knowledge is active. Our knowledge is a reaction, or is passive. But God's knowledge is very active. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. The way of the ungodly, the way that is not known by the Lord, will perish. The way that is not known by the Lord will perish. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly, the way that is not known to the Lord, will perish. There's a wide road that leads to destruction. That is the way of the ungodly. And there's the narrow, straight road, which is the way of righteousness, which leads to eternal life. The Lord knows that way. The Lord knows that way. And what that means exactly, I don't know. I don't know what it means exactly. The Lord knows this and how that all works out. But I do know that the way of the ungodly will perish, and that the way that the Lord knows leads to eternal life, and that way is firmly established for us here in the Scriptures. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also does not wither. Whatsoever you do, it does, prospers. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly will perish. And speaking of the way of the ungodly perishing, let's look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37, I think, is an important cross-reference here. Psalm 37, starting with verse 1. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. For they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. This runs very much parallel with delighting in the Lord and delighting in his word. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked draw the sword and bend their bow to bring down the poor and needy, to slay those whose way is upright. Their swords shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Better is the little that the righteous has than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless, and their heritage will remain forever. They are not put to shame in evil times. In the days of famine, they have abundance. But the wicked will perish. The enemies of the Lord are like the glory of the pastures. They vanish. They smoke like smoke. They vanish away. So, just to review briefly. Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I believe God has given us everything that we need for a godly, happy life. For a godly, happy life. God has given us everything that we need. Blessed is the man, happy is the man, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. And we pray, Father, that you, Lord, would teach us to delight ourselves in you and in your word. Teach us, Lord. And God, when we are feeling unhappy, grumpy, discontent, remind us, Lord, that we are not walking in the way that you would have for us to walk. We are not delighting ourselves in you. We are not meditating on you. We are not trusting in you. We are placing our hope and our expectation, our love, in another place. Remind us of these things, Father, as we go through our week, Lord. In every action and in every interaction, Father, to be delighting ourselves in you, meditating on your word. That your word, Lord, would lead and guide each step of our lives. Thank you, God, for giving us so many good and precious promises, Lord. We thank you, God, for all the wonderful gifts that you give to us, Father, which are from above, come from you. We do not change. We pray, Father, that you, Lord, would continue to teach us these things, Father, that we, Lord, might live fruitful lives. We thank you, God, for the promise of fruitfulness, Lord, if we will do this. If we will delight ourselves in you, delight ourselves in your word, turn our back on ungodly wisdom, and love godly wisdom, Lord. You, Lord, will produce much fruit through us, Father. We thank you, God, for that. We pray, God, that you would be honored and glorified in us, Father, in Christ's name.